Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time of Matan Torah, was Maisif Yaymechad Midaita. Moshe Rabbeinu added a day to the preparation for Matan Torah. That means the Yemei HaGvolah, the days of preparation, have been one less. But Hashem was only Mitzava 2 days of preparation. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Maisif Yaymechad Midaita. He said before Matan Torah, we had one more day. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu was masking. The question is, Mamanavshach, if it makes sense to have another day of preparation, so the Rabbeinu Shalom should have been mitzava however many days it takes. If the Rabbeinu Shalom said that these many days of preparation, so what's Moshe Rabbeinu adding a day? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need a day to Pesach, he didn't need a day to Sukkot, he didn't need a day to any of the Yom Tovim, he didn't need days. By the Hakhanah to Mount Torah, we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moisif Yemecha Midaita. He added one day on his own. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do things on his own. He was Moisif Yemecha Midaita. We also find, at the end of the Zeis HaBracha, that we're taught that when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas, when he came down from Har Sinai, that he was not told to break the luchas. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas on his own, and Rabbeinu Shalom said, "Yasher kai yasher shibarta." The lashon that Rashi brings from the Gemara, in Shabbos Pesayin, that the last Rashi of Chumash, "Shenosei liba lishbar haluchas." Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own to break the luchas. Shenema v'ashabrein leinechem v'skima dasa kadosh baruch hu l'dayta kadosh baruch hu said yashakai yashashibarit. So here we find the second time that Moshe Rabbeinu l'dayta did something that the Rav Hashem didn't tell him to do. The Torah ends, the whole Torah ends by praising Moshe Rabbeinu like kogdavi oi the Yisrael Kemoshe, and the Torah ends L'chol Ayada Chazaka L'chol Amayra Hagadol Asher Osa Moshe La'inei Kol Yisrael. Very general expression. Yada Chazaka and the Amayra Hagadol Asher Osa Moshe La'inei Kol Yisrael. Now, how would you translate that? Something Moshe did in front of Hofa Yisrael. What were the outstanding things Moshe Rabbeinu did La'inei Kol Yisrael? Maybe Kriyas Yamsuf. I'm not sure what you would choose. Rashi says it's Shmiras Haluchas. The Chumash ends, there was no one like Moshe Rabbeinu, and why not? He broke the Luchas. That's Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Luchas? That's the godless of Moshe that's breaking the Luchas? Nebo Yisrael. So I'd like to explain the Nekuda that's so important, that Moshe was Maisiv, Moshe broke the Luchas. And the Nekuda is a very general Nekuda in life in general, and certainly in Avodas Hashem. Whatever you do, whatever you set out to do, whatever you plan to do, whatever decisions you make, you generally come to a point where you have to choose between convenience, something that's easier to do, and excellence, something that's done in the best possible way. You're constantly choosing between excellence and convenience. Le Marshall, you want to go to a barber. You have a barber on your corner, but he doesn't give such a nice haircut. You go to another barber, you have to go a few blocks away. Maybe you have to pay a little more. But what you get from him is what you want. So you make a choice between something that's better, that's excellent, and something that's inferior, but it's more convenient. When it comes to haircuts, we all know. The easy one. But you're doing it all the time. Every time you go to a restaurant. You go out to eat, you have to choose between something that's convenient or less expensive, or something that's nicer, more expensive, more of a tircha, more traveling. In life, generally, a normal person chooses between things that are more excellent and things that are more convenient. Someone gets a cut, needs stitches. You have a choice. You can go to the emergency room and have a medical student give you stitches. Or you go to a specialist and he can give you stitches. So it depends. If someone needs stitches on his face, so he's going to go for excellence. He's going to go to someone who will do it in the best way possible. If he has a cut on his thigh, so the excellence is not so important. He'll go into the emergency room and have them stitch it up. In life, a lot of the things we do, we consciously or subconsciously, we're always weighing, do you know how much you're willing to spend in money, in kircha, in traveling time? We spend time, money, and kircha doing things, and we have a choice. We have a choice how excellent it should be, how convenient it should be, and usually it doesn't go together. Usually if you want something better, you have to spend more, you have to be matriach more, you have to... Now the Rebbe Shalom is giving the Torah. God could have said, prepare 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, that's all the preparation. Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're going to be mekabel the Torah, let's spend an other day preparing. The point isn't the other day preparing. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael, when you go to Kabbalah Satayra, I have a choice. Klal Yisrael was already desired the Kabbalah Satayra. Here they left Mitzrayim, they traveled for 7 weeks. They wanted already Kabbalah Satayra. Moshe said, one more day. One more day, it's kedai that we should make a choice to do it in a more excellent way and wait, rather than to do the Kabbalah Satayra in a less excellent way. The question was, so Rabbi Shalom should have said one more day. The answer is that's not the point. The point isn't 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or where you stop in days of preparation. The point is that Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching Klal Yisrael that you have to choose to do things in the most excellent way you could. You have to choose to do things in the best possible way. The same thing with Shmir Saluchas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Asul Lahem Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu knew they made the Egel before he came down. And the Rebbe Shalom said, bring the Luchas to Klal Yisrael. Some of them made an Egel. Some of them are dancing around an Egel. So go down, Moshe Rabbeinu, make it work. Make it work. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. I don't want to be Mekabel Luchas B'dieved. I'm not looking for a Kabbalah Sal Luchas B'dieved. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas Midaita. I'm not settling for a B'dieved Kabbalah Sal Luchas. On one side of the room will be burning the, destroying the ego, on the other side of the room will be Mekabel the Torah. No. Moshe Rabbeinu, why did they call Yisrael? The Mashiach is. Why did he wait to break the Luchas? Why did he break the Luchas when he was on the top of the mountain? Why did he have to schlep them down to break them? La'ene kol Yisrael. There's a lesson Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael. That I could bring you the Luchas. Rav Shalom gave me the Luchas. I could bring it to you and we could do a b'di'evet. We could do a b'di'evet. You don't go to a barber who could b'di'evet. You can do a Kabbalah Satayra that's a b'di'evet. We have to get our act together. We have to do tshuva. We have to set out to do the most lechatchila we could. That ain't gonna happen. We weren't gonna go back. But the most lechatchila they could, it has to be done in the manner of lechatchila. There's another Gemara. Gemara says that when Pinchas went to kill Zimri ben Salu, he asked Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us that we should kill Kanaan pagan by? Listen to the language in the Gemara. Gemara says that Pinchas went to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "Haloi limaditonu, achi avi abba." He said, "My great uncle, didn't you teach us?" At the time he came down from Rehar Sinai, Kanaan pagan by. Lashon Gemara is, you taught us, as you're coming down from Rehar Sinai, you taught us, Kanaan pagan by. So I think I heard this from Rav Druk. Rav Druk said, it's not Mestaver. Imagine for a minute. You take a person, he doesn't know anything about religion, he says, he wants to be about Shuva, teach me halachas. And Moshe is coming down from Rehar Sinai, teach me halachas. The first thing he's going to teach him is Kanaan pagan by. The guy doesn't know about Yiddish guy. He's from Kashrus, he's from Shabbos. Halonim matutanu, but you read the Mehar Sinai, as you come down and see, he taught us Kanaan pagan by. So Rabjuk asked. Now, Mestaver, that they learned Kanaan pagan by the first thing the Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Mehar Sinai. So Rabjuk answered, when did Moshe Rabbeinu teach Kanaan pagan by? When he broke the lucas. But you read the Mehar Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Mehar Sinai. He said, we're not letting things happen in a b'di'evedic way. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, as he came down from Mehar Sinai, Kanaan pagan by. He taught him, you don't let things be b'di'evedic. You don't let things go in a way, you know, we'll deal with Zimri Ben Salva. No. It has to be the finest way that we could make. This is the... It has to be in the most excellent way it could be. Now you have to be margish that in life we're busy making these decisions. Every time you go shopping, you're deciding, should I spend more for something better? Or spend less, have more money in my pocket, and I don't need it to be perfect. It's a decision you have to make. Every time you use your time, it's the same thing. You try to decide where is the focus of excellence, and where is the focus on convenience, on having things that I want to have. The Mahalach HaChayim is that Mahalach. If you look at somebody who takes all his life savings, and he opens a store. He invested in a store. What's he doing? He's sacrificing today, he's giving up a lot today, to create something that he feels will be a davar ha-metzliach. No doubt that he'll do well. It's the same idea. It's the idea of choosing excellence over something that's expedient, that goes easily. That's the nekuda of a person's avodah, and that is Leinei Kol Yisrael. That's the only thing Moshe Rabbeinu taught on his own. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't teach any Torah. He didn't say Chiddush Torah. Moshe Chachma says it was also for Moshe Rabbeinu to be mechadish Chiddush Torah. So Kol Yisrael had to know what's from Sinai and what's a Chiddush. The only thing Moshe Rabbeinu taught us is Asam Yidaitai, the Shvirat Haluchas, and the extra day. Now, in Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu speeches to Klal Yisrael. I don't know if you know this, but there's a constant use of the term Shmira, the Shmira Samitzah. Every parasha, I think last week in Re'eh, I counted 6 or 7 times, a very general term, Shmartem et HaMitzvahis, Shmar v'Shamata, in a very general way, such an expression. We have in this week's parasha, V'Shamata la'asais b'chol asher yaruchah. Lashon of Shmira, by the king also. Lishmar is called Divrei HaTorah Hazeh. Lishmar, the Lashon Shmira, which doesn't occur all that often. The Kisishmar is called a mitzvah zayis la'asaisa. What are you talking about? keeps on saying in general terms, Shmira Samitzah, Shmira Samitzah. What's Shmira? What's Shmira Samitzah? What's the expression constantly of Shemar B'Shamata, of Chumitzus Hashem? The Sama Rebbe, in his Divrei Yayel, says very Geshmak, and it's all things fit together. Says, if you're mazik somebody, you only have to pay if you do damage. If you break someone's thing, you have to pay. Let's say you're a goyim, a groma, a spater, a dina yadam. If you cause damage indirectly, you're potter. If you send someone, you tell someone, break the other guy's thing, you're potter. You don't know that, right? You should have to the varavay. If you break something, the only kind of if you do it. There are ways to do it without being over, without having to pay. Not so a shomer. A shomer, if you're mekabel shmira to watch something, then if you a goyim is tested, you have to pay. You pay for any pshia. If you send someone to break something that's yours, that you're a shomer on, the chayim. Shmiras hamitzis is to be shomer something from an indirect damage, an indirect loss in a mitzvah. It's a higher level. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's lesson to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gave over whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. What Moshe Rabbeinu added was the level in which a person is a shomer mitzvah Hashem. The level in which a person is a shomer Shabbos, a shomer mitzvah, a shomer kashrus. Use the expression shomer Shabbos, not shomer Shabbos. There are some people who rest on Shabbos. That doesn't make you a shomer Shabbos. Shmira is when someone is shomer on the Kedusha Sayyayim. The Shmira and the Kedusha Sayyayim. Something else. Just not doing work is fine. You can speak all Shabbos and then and not be chayav nisa. Not doing malach on Shabbos. That's not Shmira. There's another level, that extra level. Every summer, when I go to Eretz Yisrael, and I come back here, it takes me about a week to adjust. Now I know the Yetzirah is in Eretz Yisrael, the Yetzirah is here. A person could go to Gan Eden from a life in America, and a person could go from Lilith again from a life in Eretz Yisrael. But I'm overwhelmed by one nekuda in the society that we live in, and the society that I'm exposed to in Eretz Yisrael. Not that Yerushalmis, I'm talking about Americans who live in Eretz Yisrael. The nekuda is where the dogesh excellence is. The idea of sacrificing for excellence. We're not from people, you're from here, you're from there. But the idea to sacrifice for something more excellent, that idea, I see it there as well. I see it here too, but here it's all in the food. All in the food. It's an insane place that we live in. I don't know what to say. It became a place where excellence in food, cars, are very important. People need to sacrifice time and money and energy, and even for imagined excellence. That's a change that's taken place to a great degree over the last 10 years or so, 20 years maybe. This dogesh and fully hidden to outdo the Goyish of Elf even in the excellence in the things that we have. In Eretz Yisrael, there's also tithes, there are also all kinds of things. I've never seen Eretz Yisrael an ad for food with a big picture of an ice cream cone or a steak, or, you know, that I haven't seen yet. I don't know if they could afford color advertising there. But it's just a different baseline. It's the baseline. Like it's Erev Shabbos, right? Erev Shabbos in America We shoot for 18 minutes before Shabbos to make Shabbos. So to actually make it 18 minutes, very few homes do. Some do, but you try to get in before Shkia, Hadlokas HaNeres, hopefully. It's Israel, they have different. Why not it's Israel? They have Shabbos, they say 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Where does it come from? So people don't keep 30, 40, but 18 they make. We're not talking about our Shabbos. We're talking about the Hashkafa. Hashkafa Sachayim. Where is the excellence? It struck me, the Erev Shabbos struck me the first time in the summer of 1996. As I saw the camp, and we were in Meir Shar and Erev Shabbos, and these boys were there for the first time, and the stores were closing. It was 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, those stores were closing. So the boys sort of came around and said, why are the stores closing? Shabbos is 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. In America, the stores are open until the last minute. So I told them, I thought they'd realize I'm joking. I said to them, you see, in America, people are very poor. They have to keep their stores open until Shabbos, they don't have enough money. In Meir Shearim, they're rich people. They don't need you coming in before. They have plenty of money. So they close the store at 2 o'clock. Maybe Rishonim close at 1 o'clock. So I thought they would get the joke, but they're innocent boys, and they all nodded. Oh, make sense? It's a certain nekuda that we're missing here, and we're in danger, really, of falling into falling into striving for excellence where it doesn't do much for you, where it's all in the guf and not in the neshama, and just losing it when it comes to the neshama, just losing it. In Matzah Shabbos, the same thing. In America, Matzah Shabbos, every shul, they're sitting around waiting, like the second that the zman is, bang, barfing. You wait 15 minutes after, you don't find minyanim anymore. So I don't know, I was Nazir Bira. Nazir Bira, the Amar is like for the hour after Shabbos. I was learning there, the Amar, I davened. So I went upstairs and I found the people I was staying with were still in Shal Shuga. Said, you missed Marib. So Marib, Marib. For another hour, they have constant Maribs. It struck me, I didn't grow up that way. Like, you're supposed to daven Marib the first minute after Shabbos, no? It's reason my demon for Abdullah. And it struck me. I said, you can rely, you're going to find a minion? Said, yeah. Suddenly it made sense to me. Like, all week, people daven Marib at different hours at night. And boom, what's a Shabbos? You know, you blink and you missed it. That's the fastest Marib of the week. It's not a Shabbos. I'm not talking about going into Shabbos. I'm not talking about coming out of Shabbos. Talking about one thing. Changing your mindset to strive to be excellent in mitzvahs, in kiyumei mitzvahs, Shabbos, in the Torah. The idea of being excellent, of doing things the right way, the l'chatchilah way, not settling for the other. That idea, it's not, we don't grow up with it here. We don't grow up, we don't have a sagis of it, we don't have a havamin of it. It's far, far away from the whole halach yedo. I want to tell you a part about Shabbos. Talk about Shabbos, right? The Gemara says that Shabbos complains. Every weekday has a ben zug. Every weekday has a spouse. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Shabbos, I have no spouse, I have no zug. Hashem said, I'll give you Klal Yisrael, they're your Zug. Very strange. Why do days of the week need to be married? And what does it mean, they're a Ben Zug? There's an extraordinary verse from the Gra. Rav Shishon Pinkus brings it. He says the following verse. The Ben Zug of Sunday, now listen carefully. Monday is not the Ben Zug of Sunday. I'll explain why. He says Sunday, Monday, Tuesday have a zug to match a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How? On Sunday, what did Hashem create? What did Hashem create? He separated on Sunday. HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated between the Mayim HaYadim, the Mayim HaTatayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, I'm sorry, the first day Hashem separated the Shemayim and the Arvitz. Bereshit Baruch Hu came as the Shemayim and the Arvitz. The first day was Shemayim and Arvitz. The second day was the Mayim, Mayim HaYadim, Mayim HaTatayim. Hashem created the seas. And on the third day, Hashem separated the earth from the water. So on the first day, Hashem created Shemayim. So big deal, the Shemayim, what do you have for me? On Wednesday, it's Ben Zug. Hashem created the sun, the moon, the stars. Those things that use Shemayim to serve Hashem. So Kishbo created Shemayim on Sunday. What's the Zug? The Zug uses it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Monday, Hashem created the oceans, the seas. On Thursday, Hashem created those things that use the oceans, the fish, that use the ocean to serve Hashem. On Tuesday, Hashem created the earth, separated the earth from the sea. And on Friday, it's Ben Zug. You have earth, big deal, it's a bunch of dirt. What's earth? But there's nothing by itself. Hashem created the Ben Zug. The Ben Zug uses the earth to serve Hashem. So Hashem created the creatures that live on the earth. See, a Zug uses the spouse as a method of serving Hashem. That's the Zivug. The Zivug is coming together to make Shlema Shriya Beinayim. So Sunday has Wednesday. The sky itself is not, it's something with the bodies, the heavenly bodies. Shabbos is a tremendous kayak to serve Hashem. He needs a zug. Who's going to use the Shabbos to draw close to Rabbi Mishalev? That's Kaiser. Kaiser is the Ben Zug of Shabbos. All week, a person is busy with his work, busy with his farming, or busy with his whatever avodah he does. The Zug of Shabbos, what does it mean the Zug of Shabbos? It's to use Shabbos to draw close to Rabbi Mishalev. Make a Shchina Shriya Beinayim. That's the Zug. There are a lot of Jews who are Shoyf Sei Shabbos. They rest on Shabbos, they don't do work, they don't go to work, they don't light fires, etc. There aren't so many Shoyrei Shabbos. Those are Shomer the Shabbos, who make from the Shabbos the day of Aliyah, the day of excellence. There aren't so many around. Really aren't. Shuls are empty. Shuls are empty. For davening, people come. Even some people come for brachas. It's the same thing. You know, here people daven 9, 9:30, 10. I don't know if it's Israel, some of you guys weren't there, know where they daven 9 o'clock. But the Israelis there, so they don't have a 9 o'clock on Shabbos. There's no minyan at 9 o'clock. Why would anybody in his right mind daven at 9 o'clock in the morning? By the time you go home, it's already almost noon. Shabbos, that's what Shabbos is for. I think Shabbos should have daven earlier, you have more time to learn. In America, it's not that way. Shabbos is a day for excellence in eating, and sleeping, and resting. Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos Hagodah, I walk into shul, it's crowded, no one to sit. Where is everybody every other Shabbos? Bed, eating. I want you to understand the hashkafa I'm telling you. I'm not telling you Musar, I'm telling you to observe what's happening around you, and it should repulse you. It's disgusting. Hashem gave us the capacity to strive to be excellent. He gave us a Shabbos to strive for Ruchnias. So eat. I'm not saying not to eat. What are we doing with it? You have to look to be from the Yechidim, and the Yechidim in our communities, the Yechidim, that try to make the Shabbos a day of Shabbos, a Ben Zog. Shabbos doesn't need you to be a Ben Zog, to eat Shalom the Friday night and again on Shabbos. So that's what Shabbos is for a Ben Zog. Then Yehuda writes, this lashon is that 1 hour of learning on Shabbos is like 1,000 hours during the week. So that language I don't understand. You're only 168 hours in the week. But how do you understand? But the idea is that learning on Shabbos, the Shem Yisrael, is more important. It's more excellent. So now you know why the Yetzer Hara makes everyone not learn on Shabbos. But Maisa, our goal has to be wherever you're holding your Avodas Hashem, wherever you're holding your Shabbos, wherever you're holding your weekdays, wherever you're holding your davening, we have to set a goal to know the language of excellence in serving your Avodas Hashem, of excellence in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of trying to be Mitzuyanim on Shabbos, to sacrifice time and energy and tircha to be able to do it on a Shabbos. We're starting a year, so this is what we're after. If you have a chavrusa on Shabbos, and it's mind-boggling that there could be people who can go through 24 hours or 25 hours of Shabbos and have a chavrusa for an hour or two, what, really? It doesn't make any sense. In Shemayim, it's a joke. It makes sense. There's a 25-hour Shabbos, and you have a chavrusa of at least 4 hours out of the 25 hours. It makes sense. You don't need to push the Yetzer Hara out of it. It makes sense. 25 hours of Shabbos, you shouldn't be learning 4 hours or 25 hours. What is that? It's a trifling. It's a small piece. Make sense? People don't have a chavrusa at all. Like, what are you going to say? It's ridiculous. Absurd. If you have a chavrusa, you could accomplish over a year. But a chavrusa, you learn an hour every Shabbos. You learn a blot every Shabbos. You finish in the Masechta 40 blot over the 40 weeks between now and the end of this month. It's something. It's a chaticha. We're going to tell you, say, first will ask you, you'll come up, you say, well, where did the Masechtas you were supposed to finish? God, I didn't have time. I didn't even have time. You lived 100 years or 70 years with 52 Shabbos, it's every Shabbos. Let's set out, it's the beginning of this month, let's set out to do things differently. To be different, to do different, to set out, you put your mind to it, you can do things differently. I realized, I do everything believe that, but I realized that every davening on Shabbos, I can stay 15 minutes after and it won't change my day. Tonight, after the Chamari, if I sit and learn 15 minutes before I go home, nothing will change. Except I'll have another 15 minutes. Tomorrow after davening, if I stay 15 minutes, nothing will change. Won't be the same. And what's a Shabbos? If you have to marry, if I stay 15 minutes, amazing. Nothing will change. I'll not be sure just by the way. But nothing will change. I won't be poorer. I won't be less happy. I realize that you can have a ride a little more. I'm going to try. Put your mind to it.